and Zoza Bracha. We're going to say something about Hazinu. It's connected to the Zoza Bracha, but I really didn't know what to do because Hazinu obviously was last week. We didn't have a chance because of Rosh Hashanah. And Zoza Bracha, we don't have a chance next week because of Wednesday, Thursday. Well, Thursday, Friday is what's called Wednesday night is Yom Tov. And then Wednesday night after that as well. So we're going to do both of them together in this week's Parsha. It says toward the end of the Parsha, in Parsha Hazinu, says, God spoke to Moshe in the middle of the day, saying, go up to the mountain Har Avarim, that's known as Har Nevo, and you will die on that mountain. Famous Rashi, I'm sure you all heard it before. What is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh? Begimel mekomos nemar be'etzem hayom hazeh. There are three places in the Torah where it says be'etzem hayom hazeh. It says by Noach be'etzem hayom hazeh. Be'etzem hayom hazeh by Noach. Noach came in the middle of the day to the table of Amaris Oro Shoyom. I'm sorry? Exactly, that's the point, right? When the light, it's literally, Maris Oro means the light shows on the land. It sounds like it's more Hanitza Chama, sunrise. Regardless, Maris Oro Shoyom, it seems to be in the middle of the day. All the people of the generation of Noah were saying, if we realize he's going to the table, we're not going to let him go in. We're strong guys. We'll stop him from going in the table. We're going to take these sledgehammers and axes, and we're going to break down the table. I'm going to bring him in the middle of the day. Anybody who wants to make a macha, anybody who wants to protest, come and protest. Let's see what you can do.
Obviously.
I know. Absolutely crazy. Apparently they said we'll do that on the last day. Right? And that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim. If we realize they're going to leave, we're not going to let them leave. We're going to bring all of our knives and all of our weapons, and we're going to kill them. I'm going to take them out in the middle of the day. Anybody can make a macha, yovo v'imcha. Af kan, so too over here. V'misasa shamosha when Moshe dies. Nemar be'etzem yom hazeh. V'shayi v'sroel omrin. The Jews were saying, v'kach v'kach. Iman ha-margish bo'in ha-manich noso. If we realize that he's going to die, we're not going to let him. Adam show it's the Mitzrayim, a man that took us out of Mitzrayim, a Karlon was Yemen, split the sea for us, a Hoglon was Amon and brought down the mud, the Hekis is the slav and he brought us all the slav, the Helon was barren, he brought up the Be'er, the well, the Nathalon was the third, he gave us the Torah. Ain't out of my Nichnos, we're not going to let him die. I'm going to let him die in the middle of the day.
Okay, I can understand what people say, we're not letting you go
to Seva.
We're not letting you be Mitzrayim.
Good question.
How are you going to say we're not letting somebody die?
Yeah, what are you going to do? What's Ben Israel going to do? Like, oh, God is really scared now. Yeah, 100%. With Mitzrayim, it's understood, right? They'll kill them and not let them leave. By Noah, it's understood. We'll knock down the table. We'll grab Noah. We won't let him go in the table. How do you stop a guy from dying? No matter what you do, he's going to die.
That's also so interesting that they're always complaining about how, like, oh, we took us out of Mitzrayim for this. I guess, and now they're saying, the guy that took us out of Mitzrayim, you're going to kill God Chas V'Shalom.
No. Not we took us out of Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim were saying about them.
No. What
Ben
Israel said to Hashem about Moshe, what they were saying about Moshe.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about different people.
No.
We're talking about different people. It's a different door. It's a different generation.
Ellie got a good answer.
Yeah.
Maybe the mitzvah was for Moshe to die on Har Nevo. Good.
The Mi'am Loes, Nachlas Yaakov, and the Grizz. He's looking at the Brisker Rav. Wall said he had to die in the mountain, specifically on the mountain. They wouldn't let him go up to the mountain, and then he wouldn't die. It says, Umus Bahorahu. He has to die on that mountain. So don't allow him to go up, and that's that. That's an easy answer. That's by far the easiest answer and the simplest answer. So they all bring that down. That's very, very good. Of course, I should have put on Ellie on top of here. I just didn't. But, you know, next year I'll have it. The Chedusha Rim gives another answer to the Ger Rav. Says they would try with all their power to dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be mevatel the gzera. They'll dive in everything they can to be mevatel the gzera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem showed them that the gzera, oh really? As Drake said, they would dive in everything they could, and Hashem showed them that the gzera was too harsh, that even if you dive in, all of Bnei Yisrael's tefillos together are still not going to be enough. Let me ask you, did they dive in for Moshe Rabbeinu to not die? Did they end up davening that way? Sifsei Tzadik. Sifsei Tzadik was just a Hasidish Sefer, not written by Rebbe, but he has a likut of a bunch of things together, says the following. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayisaber Hashem bi lema'anchem, God got angry at me because of you. That concept of God got angry at me because of what you did. Velo shoma elai. And he didn't listen to me when I asked him, can I go to Eretz Yisrael? Bless Hanan El Hashem Bo Yisahi Lamor, right? Ebro no Be'erez Ha'orot HaTobah. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. He said, he didn't listen to me. He says, it's satanic, but he would have listened to you. He was hinting to Bnei Yisrael, I want you to daven. And they didn't daven. The Ishbitzer, Mea Shiloh Kamparshas Devarim, says that he hinted it to him when he said, Lo Uchal Levadi Se'esetchem. He said, I'm by myself, I'm not able to hold you guys. He was hinting to them, he was like, say it, guys. Say it. Come on. I can't do this anymore. He was waiting for Bnei Yisrael to say, yes, you can, Moshe Rabbeinu. You can do it. We'll try not to be as hard anymore. That's what he was waiting for Bnei Yisrael to say. He was waiting for Bnei Yisrael to say, wait, Moshe Rabbeinu, what does that mean you're not able to do it anymore? Does that mean you're going to die? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let Moshe Rabbeinu die. We want Moshe Rabbeinu with us. We'll try harder. He was waiting for them to say that. And they didn't say it.
Why do you
have to say that? Okay. When he heard from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, let's start for 1 second. For that, Moshe Rabbeinu said something to them. We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu said that I got judges, right? I got judges from Klal Yisrael. One of the prerequisites for the judges was that they had to be Nivonim. But when he actually got the judges, right after it says that pasuk, Lo uchal levadi se'esetchem, it says he got everybody, but it never mentions the word Nivonim. He couldn't find any Nivonim. You know why? Nivonim are called Maven Dover Mitoch Dover. They're able to understand something from what a person says. Moshe Rabbeinu said, how could you not understand what I was getting at? I was trying to hint you guys to daven. And you didn't daven. So none of you are Nivonim. None of you understood what I was trying to get at over here. And therefore, he never mentions Nivonim when he found the judges. That's the pshat according to the Ishbitzer, that's where. So why didn't they try? Why didn't they daven? Why didn't they do anything whatsoever? Such an obvious thing to do. That the Be'er Basod, who's one of the Pirushim and Rashi, says a very simple line. He says, Meshiv Achomim Achor V'daitom Yisachel. Anybody know where that line comes from? Meshiv Chachomim Achor V'daitom Yisachel. It's the line used by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when he fought with Vespasian at the end of the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. Remember, he went out to Vespasian, and Vespasian said, you can ask for anything you want. And he asked for three things. And the Chachamim said, Meshiv Chachomim Achor V'daitom Yisachel. He should have asked for something so simple. He should have asked to save Yerushalayim and not destroy the base of Mikdash, and he didn't ask for it. So the Gemara goes through, etc., etc. That's one of those things. Says the Be'er Basad, that applies over here as well. God made Bnei Yisrael forget to daven. Had they davened, not like what the Chiddush HaRem said, had they davened, it would have worked. It would have worked. Everything would have worked. Says the Me'ishah Walk, like the Me'ishah Walk, and like the Sifrei Tzaddik, it would have worked had they davened to save Moshe Rabbeinu. But they didn't, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow them to remember to daven. That was the line. That's from the Sifrei Tzaddik. Sfas Semes and Likutim says, they thought a Kal V'chomer. If Moshe couldn't save himself, then certainly they themselves couldn't do it. Because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? To allow himself to go into Eretz Yisrael? Vo'eschanan. And I prayed to God to go into Eretz Yisrael. And he was denied. If he was denied, then Yisrael said, well, if he can't daven, he's better than all of us. There's no way we could daven. To that, Sfas Emes says that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that they could. But he could not say a word to them. As you asked before, Benjamin, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just tell them? Why do you have to hint to it? Just say out loud, guys, daven for me. And then maybe I'll be able to be saved. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Al tosif daber elai od badaber hazeh. I don't want you to speak any more of this matter at all. So he couldn't say anything to even Bnei Yisrael to allow them to daven for him. I'm sorry?
He couldn't or wasn't allowed?
He wasn't allowed to say anything anymore about the matter of keeping himself
alive.
Had
he done so, he would have.
Had he done so, it could be. It could be that he would have done something. That's possible. But he couldn't even tell Bnei Yisrael. He wouldn't even tell Bnei Yisrael. And he just hinted it to them, and they didn't get the hint.
Did they know up until this point that he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael?
Yes, definitely.
How did they know?
Eldad Amedad. Remember the Nevuah that Eldad Amedad said when they first got up, as they said in front of all Klal Yisrael, Moshe Meis Yoshua Machnas. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not deny. Yeshua got up and said, Moshe, Kla'im, destroy them. And Moshe said, absolutely not. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's what it's going to be. Right? If only all the people could be Nevi'im. At that point, they absolutely knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going in. They all knew it was going to happen. There just was a question of when.
Maybe Moshe would have stepped down, though, and you're
yeah, you're right. But it seemed Moshe Meis Yoshua Machnas. That was the line.
Things can be
100%. And that's what they should have davened for. So why were they wrong? I mean, if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven, if Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it, then how could they do it? There's a concept, and you've all heard of this concept. Ein chavush matir atzmo mi beis asurin. What does that mean?
When you're at the blade.
No, not exactly. A prisoner. A prisoner. Someone who's captured, somebody who's in jail, can never get himself out of jail. That's the Gemara in Brachos, Chayim Abayz, by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan got sick, Rabbi Elazar got sick, and somebody came in and helped them. Rabbi Yochanan went to help Rabbi Elazar, and then later on, Rabbi Yochanan himself got sick. Says the Gemara, wait a second, what, if he knew how to heal this, why wouldn't he just do it himself, do it to himself? And the answer is, if you're in jail, you can't help yourself out. You have to have, but maybe they held like the Havamina of the Gemara. They were wrong. The halakha is that they should have davened for Moshe Rabbeinu. They should have done such a thing because but they misunderstood what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. They thought they didn't have a chance, and that's that. But you got to hear Rav Moshe. And we're all leading up to the Rav Moshe. This whole idea is just to lead up to this Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein says the following. B'nai Yisrael said they'd make sure that he wouldn't go up. Okay? They said, we're going to make sure he doesn't go up. And we said, he's not going to go on the mountain, they're going to daven for him, whatever. Rav Moshe just asked simply. But that's not Ratzon Hashem. God wants him to die. So how are you allowed to even say out loud, isn't that apikorsis? Kfira. You're denying God's will. God wants Moshe Rabbeinu to die. And you're saying, I don't want Moshe Rabbeinu to die? How could you say such a thing? How could you do such a thing? Who says that's Motzer? Rav Moshe says an unreal chiddush. He says, when a gadol hador is dying, if a gadol hador is going to die, it's mutter to do anything. Absolutely anything to keep him alive. Absolutely anything you want, even though you know it's against Ratzon Hashem. Even if you're positive, it's against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, why is that so? It's a gadol hador. It's a gadol hador. You do anything for the gadol hador. Like Rav Yashiv is sick right now. You do anything to daven for Rav Yashiv, even though, well, you know, he's 102 already, or I don't know how old he is, but he's already old. I mean, come on, he's lived a long life. No, that's not it. Keeping him in the world keeps Kedusha in the world. You take him out of the world, you're taking away that Kedusha. It's scary what can happen if such a person passes away. Scary. I heard a line from Eichenstein once. I can attribute it to Rav Eichenstein beshame somebody else. I don't know if it's true. But it wasn't for Rav Eichenstein on Divine. I don't know if it's that, whatever, but this sounds like his type of line. Three Gedolim died within a week and a half. Right? Kopelstein? I keep forgetting his name. Rav Kopelman. Thank you very much. From Switzerland. Rav Michael Yudel Lefkowitz. And then Rav Chaim Stein from Telz. All three died within a week and a half. The next week is that whole story about where, in New York, where the kid was, whatever, taken and killed, obviously, killed in such a gruesome way. That whole story happened right after that. Rav Eichenstein said, it's not a pillow. It's that you take that Kedusha out of the world, all of a sudden Tuma has a much bigger hold. You take all that Kedusha that all three of them had, one in America, one in Israel, one in Europe, and then all of a sudden Tuma can rule. That's the concept, said Rav Eichenstein. It makes so much sense. You do anything to keep a gadol hador, anything to be able to keep him around. But the question is, do we actually hold that way? Can you keep a gadol, let's say, on, I don't know, whatever it is to keep him alive, even though he's going to be in a coma for the next 10 years or whatever it is. Are you really allowed to do that? That mutter. You're allowed to do what they did to Prime Minister Sharon. Where Sharon is still alive. He's just on...
He's not doing that.
The question is, not doing that is not killing him. Not doing that is not artificially keeping him alive. So the question is, are you allowed to do anything to keep a gubble alive, even though it may be worse for the gubble? What ends up happening in that situation? Rav Moshe blides Tzorach Ian on that. I'll tell you, it's a machlokas. Baba Kama, Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Lamed Ches Amid Aleph says the following. The Rabbanan said to Ula, come, let's be Menachem Avol. Because Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda lost a daughter. Shmuel Bar Yehuda lost a daughter, so let's go be Menachem Avol together. Ula said the line, why should I be Menachem Avol with Babylonians? You Babylonians don't have any idea how to be Menachem Avol. What do you guys say? Every time you see something like that happen, you curse God. Because you say, what can you do? What can you do? That's what you say when you're being Menachem Avol. What can you do? There's nothing we can do. Mashma, that if you could do something, says Ula, you would go ahead and do it. That's apikorsis. Seems, according to Ula, you're not allowed to do anything you can if the Ratzon of Hashem is to kill somebody. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that person needs to die, then you're not allowed to do anything. So therefore, B'nai Yisrael didn't daven for Moshe Rabbeinu because they held like Ulo. This is the idea. They couldn't daven for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew it would work, but if they knew this is Ratzon Hashem, they knew it was Ratzon Hashem because Moshe Rabbeinu told them, I'm going to die. Elvin Amizit prophesied that they were going to die. How could you daven against the Nebuah? That's what they held. And therefore they held like Ula that you're not allowed to daven in such a situation. I'm sorry?
Ula wouldn't daven for sick
people? Ula would daven for sick people, only because of the following. He didn't know that people were dying. He said, after the person's already dead, it's usher to say, I would do anything to save them if you knew that we're going to die. But we don't know if a person's going to die or not. Maybe the person's not going to die. If the person's not going to die like we have now, it is. Therefore, it is mutter to daven. It's mutter to do anything you possibly can. So let's go through that again. Just very quickly, it goes to follow. Reb Moshe says the following line. You should do anything for a Gadol Ador if you know a Gadol Ador is going to die. Bnei Yisrael should have davened for Moshe Rabbeinu because a Gadol Ador, how could you let him die? But Reb Moshe says they may be held like Ula because Ula holds that if Ratzon Hashem is for the person to die, which we don't know nowadays, but they knew by Moshe Rabbeinu and they knew that was Ratzon Hashem, then it's usher to daven. And Bnei Yisrael therefore held it's usher to daven and they didn't daven for him even though they knew that if they did daven for him, it would have worked. The same way as you said before, Yehuda, that Al Tosef Dabra Elai Od B'Dabra Zeh, don't speak to me again about this matter, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Why? Because if you do, then you'll live. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood. And he said, fine, I won't daven for it anymore. He knew himself that if he davened one more tefillah, he would live. But he refused to do it because Ratzon Hashem is to die. So Bnei Yisrael just held like Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the concept. But it doesn't apply for us nowadays with somebody like Rabbi Yashiv, where you do have to do anything, because we don't know if that's Ratzon Hashem. We have no idea what the Ratzon Hashem is when it comes to somebody dying. So for us nowadays, it's different. Here's the other question. That's one part of Atzmi Yom HaZeh. Isn't...
I'm sorry, but
we don't know.
We're talking about...
How do we not know?
How do you know if a person's supposed to die?
Do they die?
No, after death, correct. I'm saying, can you daven before they die? That's what
we're saying. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu davened until the point that he said, stop.
That's our point.
That's what we're saying.
But yes.
But by someone like Rabbi Yashiv, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you shouldn't be davening for him, but it almost feels a little bit difficult to someone that is at that age, when that is the typical lifespan of a person, that's beyond the lifespan of a person, to daven for a fool for someone that's probably, I mean, I don't know the situation.
No.
An elderly person who probably has...
No. There's never a point where you just say, give it up. There's never a point where you can say that. Even if they're 120, you still daven for them. There's no point.
Let's say if somebody's curled up in bed not doing anything, they're sitting there, they have a horrible quality of life, and they're...
That still doesn't make a difference. Still doesn't make a difference. Rosh Hashanah held that if the person ever has a chance to even say an amen, just one amen for in 20 years, and they'll be in a coma for 20 years, you have to keep them alive. For that one amen. Granted, there's a Gemara in Ksuvis that mentions by Rebbe Yudan Asi, or Amstu Debe Rebbe, the whole yeshiva is davening for Rebbe to stay alive, and Amstu Debe Rebbe realized, oh, it's better for Rebbe to die. So Amstu Debe Rebbe davened for Rebbe to die, and Rebbe passed away. That's a famous Gemara, but there's Shaila's up the wazoo on that. The whole yeshiva paskin not like Amstu Debe Rebbe. And you can imagine that if anybody would have heard Amstu Debe Rebbe at the time, they would have slapped her in the face. Like, the whole yeshiva is like, please Rebbe stay alive, please Rebbe stay alive, and Amstu Debe Rebbe is like, just die. You can imagine what you would have done. In Shemayim, we know that Amstu Debe Rebbe was right, but that's a Pelham. We don't know that, and therefore you can never, ever ask for somebody to die.
Yeah.
When
you said, going back earlier, when you said the Kedusha was taken out of the world, because of Surah Bam, that in 1 week was the Kedusha leaving the world?
Yeah. Just a tremendous amount of Kedusha, and that caused Tumah to be in there, which attributed. It was from Rabbi Kinsan and Devon. It attributed to it, not that it caused it. The cause and attribute is... That was something different. It was their time, but that was something that had to happen.
What was, like, Ula's basis? I mean, if Moshe, like, if he was supposed to die then, and therefore he stopped dominating, wouldn't he have known to begin with that God didn't want it, so he wouldn't have dominated to begin with?
It could be that halacha wasn't paskin yet. It's very hard to say when the halacha is being defined at that moment. It's very hard to say that they knew the p'sak halacha.
The reason we need a p'sak halacha is because we don't know it already for sure. So therefore, it has to be thought through.
Just remember, there are major situations that even Moshe Rabbeinu did not have specifics on. For example, as we know, Bnei Sofkod Pesach Sheni by the Makal and the Mekoshesh. There were certain situations where he just couldn't paskin because of the situation at hand. He knew what the Torah said, but he didn't know how to paskin because there's so many different drachim to be able to take.
Okay,
that would be the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know. Ula said that his basis was, you could assume that it came from this, but we don't know exactly what it was. That's just what Ula said, so we see there's something from that. Well, yeah?
Didn't the Gemara say that Acher, they heard the Paschal that says that Acher doesn't
have anything? Who's Acher, right?
And if he were to Davins, or if he would have done something,
he still would have been able to do Tshuva. Yeah, 100%.
So, how come Moshe says, no, I'm going to let it be, you know, it's God's will, but Acher had he said something?
Granted, Acher was just an idiot. You're right, he should have. He should have gone ahead and done it anyway. That was the whole point. That there are certain times when a person has to do tshuva and he's losing his chelik and olhava, for sure you got to keep doing it. Yeah.
Is it the greatest gift for the emperor?
For what?
Greatest gift, the greatest problem, meaning?
It depends. I don't know. No. That's not an easy thing to answer. Just for this, you'd have to say that it's for the person that's dying. It's for the person that's dying. So here we go. Isn't there a fourth time where it says batzim yamazeh? Does anybody know a fourth time where it says it? It's actually twice in two psukim by Avraham Avinu, by the Bris Mila. By the Bris Mila, it says Be'etzem Yomazeh by Avraham Avinu. And Rashi says, by the Bris Mila of Avraham Avinu, it says right there, Be'etzem Yomazeh, here's what happens. Avraham Avinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he has to do a Bris Mila. Avraham Avinu said, people are going to stop me from doing it. It's Mamre, they got salt in it. People are going to stop you from right in the middle. And Avraham Avinu said, I'm going to do it in the middle of the day, and anybody who wants to stop me won't be able to stop me. That's the line, so it seems to be the exact same thing. So why doesn't Rashi mention it over here? So a bunch of different answers. Reb Chaim says that's different. That they wanted to keep him from doing a mitzvah, and that a person has to do anything he can in order to keep a mitzvah around. But here, the Be'er Heitiv said that those three are different. By Noah, by Mitzrayim, and by Moshe Rabbeinu, God wanted it in the middle of the day. God brought them out in the middle of the day. By Yisku Hashem Ba'ado, Hashem closed the door of the Teva, the Etzim Yom, in the middle of the day. Over here also, by Moshe Rabbeinu, God wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to die. By Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said to do it the Etzim Yom Hazeh. Avram decided to do it the Etzim Yom Hazeh. That's different. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon, which you have to do it in order to make it publicized. Well, Avram could do it publicly, or he could do it privately. It is a bris milah. It's not something you do in a shuk. Not something you do in a marketplace, especially when you're that old. It's not something that should be out there that would be so simple to do. So Avraham Avinu was given a choice. If you think it's better to do it in private, then do it in private. If you want to do it in public, do it in public. It's up to you, Avraham Avinu. You make the decision. And Avraham Avinu decided, I'm going to do it the Etzem Yom Hazeh. That makes it a little bit different, and that's why Rashi kept it out from over here. That's from the Be'er Heitiv. The Be'er Basada says another little bit more to it. But the Maskil of David says another thing. You know when Avraham Avinu got the Bris Milah? According to the Sifri, this Rashi over here that quotes these three times, that is a Sifri that says it was Noah, Moshe, and by Mitzrayim. The Sifri holds the Etzem Yom Hazeh connects with another Be'etzem that's written by Yom Kippur. That Avraham got his Bris Milah on Yom Kippur. Well, so the Etzem Yom Hazeh is already used to tell you that it happened on Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die in Yom Kippur, so Etzem Yom Hazeh is not referring to Yom Kippur here. Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim, it wasn't on Yom Kippur, we know that, right? And so too, when it came to Noah, we know Noah didn't go into the Teva on Yom Kippur. It happened in Yud Zayin Cheshvan or Yud Zayin Iyar. We know Yud Zayin Sivan, I'm sorry. It was one of the two, but we know that it didn't happen in Yom Kippur. Know those three. But if by Avraham Avinu, it happened in Yom Kippur. So Be'etzem Yom Hazeh by Avraham Avinu was already used for something else. Therefore, Rashi couldn't say Be'etzem Yom Hazeh. But that medrash that Rashi quoted up earlier, that Be'etzem Yom Hazeh meant, I'm going to do it in the middle of the day, etc., is a medrash rabba. The medrash rabba argues on the Sifri. And the medrash rabba holds that there were four times that it says Be'etzem Yom Hazeh. Rashi's only quoting these three, that's that. Okay, we're done with one part. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Morasha Kiyos Yaakov. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is the Avi. Okay, we have it, right? Listen to this line. Yalkut Shimoni brings down that a person who's not Jewish that learns Torah is Chayiv Misa. Yalkut Shimoni, Parsh Sachremos, Tov Kuf Pei Zayin. Person who's not Jewish learning Torah is Chayiv Misa. Because Tziva Lanu committed to us the low to anybody else. The line that we say in the Halukas, Mishpatim Bayadu'um, you can't teach those Mishpatim to the other nations of the world. What an unbelievable thing. So the question is, why? And the answer, says Rabbi Yashin, because they were offered the Torah, and they reduced it. I don't know how that happens. I have no idea how HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the other nations. There are four different answers that are out there as to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to the other nations, and they said no. I have no idea how. It's a very, very strange thing altogether. That's very, very strange. But regardless, when they said no, whether it was their Malachim, whether it was their kings, whether it was somehow all the nations by themselves, they all said no to the Torah, to that, at that point, the Torah became Morasha, L'kilas Yaakov. Morasha is the line of Me'orasa. It was engaged, betrothed to Bnei Yisrael. And if you're together with a betrothed girl, you're Chayiv Misa. So meaning, if another nation takes the betrothed, the Torah, which is our wife, takes it away from us, they're Chayiv Misa for it. That's the line. Says Rabbi Yashar on this, Yesh Ma'abed Olamo B'Shal Achas. We all know that you can gain Olam Haba in a second. That if you make the right decision, you do the right thing, you can get Olam Haba with that one decision, that one good thing you do, you can get it. Several Yashif, what we don't say, is Ishma Abed Olam B'Shachas. By saying no to the Torah, from then on, every nation in the world lost the ability to ever get the Torah back. It will never happen for them. They stole Shem Mitzvah Noah. They stole the purpose. There's still Olam Haba for them. They stole an Olam Haba. They stole everything else that a Jew can have in an easier fashion in some way, shape, or form. But they have no shaykhis to the Torah. That's the concept. I'm sorry?
Converts?
Converts are completely different, as we know.
Yeah, right. If you're a practicing Christian or Catholic, you're going to still follow, still...
You would assume that the Shem Mitzvah Noah will be there.
You're still going to learn the Old Testament.
You're still going to learn it, right. But you won't have any idea what's there because it's not Torah Shabbal Peh. So you'll translate it as it is. You'll look at certain parts of the Torah and you'll say to yourself, I don't have to fast on Yom Kippur because it only says, V'nisim et nafsho seichem. I don't even know that Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment because it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that it's the day of judgment. That comes from Chazal. You'll have no idea what an etrog is because it only says Priyat Hadar. You have no idea how to make tefillin because it doesn't say that anywhere. It only mentions Totafos. It doesn't explain what it is. You'll have losses and everything. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, when you come across a field and you see fruits that are good for you to eat, go and take as many as you want. It's a crazy pasuk. It's a crazy pasuk. It's referring to a worker who's working for his master, and that while you're working, you're allowed to take food while you're working from that person that you're working for. That's what he refers to according to Torah Shabbat Peh. But if just that Torah Shabbat Stav, it's impossible to figure out. That's what it means. Sure, they'll have the outside parts. They'll have the outside parts, but they're never going to have the real Torah which is given to us. And then there's another thing. We all make this bracha in the morning. Asher nasan lanu Torah emes. V'chayol antav zchenu bruchatu Hashem. Nosena Torah. Nasan is past tense. No sein is present tense. What's the difference between those two? The avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, instilled within us and inherited for us a Torah that will never change. That's called nasan. Nothing that he previously gave it to us. No sin can be poking that idea, that kedusha. There's no way that can happen. No sin refers to kedushin. Every person here has, you say it in your Shemon Esrei at the very, very end, Sein chalkenu b'sarasecha. Give us our chalik in your Torah. Everybody here has a chiddush. It could be one, it could be two, it could be hundreds. You have no idea how many chiddushim you have, but you have a chiddush in the Torah. You have something that's yours, that's your chalik that counts as yours. That's the difference between Morasha, the Yerusha, Kilas Yaakov, and Me'orasa, our wedding, our betrothed, something that's connected to me, Kilas Yaakov, something that's given from the Avos, that's Nosan, something that's continually giving to us, Nosan, which if you learn, you'll always get a fish. Reb Yaakov asked the following question based on those two akdamos. He says, why call it Kilas Yaakov? Why don't we call it Yisrael? Yaakov, we know, is the lower name. It's not referring to Bnei Yisrael, it's referring to Kilas Yaakov. That's Yaakov. It's not the same, that's the Akev, the heel. That's a nobody. Why is it referring to Yaakov? That's number one. Why the word Kihilas? Why add on the word the Kahal of Yaakov? What does the Kahal have anything to do with anything? Why not just say Morasha Le Yaakov? Or Le Bnei Yisrael? That would work out well. Why does that have to be Le Kihilas Yaakov referring to that? Here, Rabbi Yaakov says, you see the difference between Torah of Yisrael and the Torah of the other nations. And this is an unbelievable thought. By other nations, there's still wisdom that's passed down. Wisdom is passed down from teacher to student. But who has that wisdom? For the most part, the Amnia Oretz of, let's say, of other nations, of Christianity or of Islam, the Amnia Oretz are not well-versed in their Torah. Whatever the Torah is, call it the New Testament, call it the Quran, they're not well-versed. If they're well-versed, they might know the outside lines, they'll know the lines by heart, but they certainly don't know the whole thing, and they certainly don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. Meaning, they're able to learn little things and memorize. They're given a little bit, and that's that. But to delve into it and to really understand what's going on, to learn the Torah Sheba'al Peh, so to speak, of their nation, which goes down from the head priest to the next priest to the next priest, from the head imam to the next imam, whatever it is, to go from one to the next, that they don't have. The only people that have that is B'nai Yisrael, in which every single Jew not only is a chance to learn Torah, but is required to learn the Torah, and not just Torah, to understand what's going on. You have a chiyuv, an absolute chiyuv, to not just learn the entire Torah with Rashi. You have a chiyuv to learn Gemara, you have a chiyuv to learn Rashi on the Gemara, you have a chiyuv to look up Rishonim, you have a chiyuv to look up Achronim. You have a chiyuv not to just stop with this, you have to keep going and going, and we're telling you, do more and more and more. And if you don't, it's not because we're telling you not to, it's not because there's no opportunities, it's because, listen, there's no time. There's no time. I just don't have enough time to do it. Anyone can learn from a Rebbe, and anyone among B'nai Yisrael can connect to that Mesorah to go all the way back. And you can do all of it. Thus, it's Yaakov. It's not B'nai Yisrael, which are the heads of the nation. They're the ones who get to learn Torah. Torah Tzivolanu Moshe, it's a Morashah, it's an inheritance for all of Kehilat Yaakov, for the Kahal of Klal Yisrael, of Yaakov, even the lowest of the low, still have to learn Torah. You still have a chiyuv to learn as much Torah as you possibly have. That leads you to a startling difference in the ways of thinking between us and them. Their concept of finding God is to be misboded. Minimize your dealings with human beings. Minimize as little as you can. To be like a monk, or to be like a priest. To not get married. To not get married, and to stay as far away from other people as you can. And then, once you're at that level, then you can go amongst the people and you'll be able to do it. That's the concept. I'm sorry?
That's why Christians
are Muslims. I'm not saying that right. And Muslims also. The concept of staying away, but you're right, in the fact that they do allow wives. I'm more referring to Christianity, you're right, more than anything else, and Rabbi Yaakov definitely was, but it definitely applies to them as well. Torah Hashem surrounds our very lives. Surrounds everything we do. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you have to do is modani. Second thing you have to do, wash your hands. Third thing you have to do, go to the bathroom or put on your tzitzis, depending on where you are. You have chiyuvim from when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning until you go to sleep at night. When you go to sleep at night, the last thing you do is birkas hamazon. You can't do anything else. You have to do birkas hamazon before you go to sleep. Everything you do, tying your shoes in the morning, whether you're doing it right, left, right, left, with your lefty or righty, you have chiyuvim, you have different ideas. We're taught how to wipe ourselves in the bathroom. It's crazy. It's crazy. We are given rules regarding how to live every aspect of our life. Everyone's life is regarding this. And nobody can say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Everything. There is something that applies to absolutely everyone and all we do. That's the concept, the difference between how we live our lives revolved around the Torah. While they say that if you're going to live your life, you have to separate yourself. Anything you do in life is a sin, so to speak, in the Christian's world. And the only way to get around it is by giving yourself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the reason why non-Jews can only bring a Korban Ola in the Beis HaMikdash. They cannot bring a Shlomim. What's a Korban Ola? Korban Ola is consumed entirely and gone straight up in a fire to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Shlomim is eaten by the person who brought it, as well as the Kohen who brings up the Korban. But you're allowed to eat parts of the Shlomim. Why is it that they only bring it all and they can't do that? Because they have no concept of being more kadosh by eating food. By them, eating food is a sin. They're living in sin. It's something disgusting. It's just that, okay, you have to live, so you got to eat something. By us, eating food is an opportunity. It's a way of becoming more kadosh. You make a bracha, you're able to make a bracha rishona, a bracha achrona, you eat in the right way. It's an opportunity to grow, even when you're eating. By us, a shlomim makes a lot of sense. By them, a shlomim makes absolutely no sense. If you're going to bring a korban, give it entirely to God. What are you taking some of it for? The concept is completely different, he says. That's the idea. Everyone has to follow. God went around with the Torah, and he said, do you want it or not? Right? Hashem gave us the Torah, etc. Right? And the whole song. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed around the Torah and he said, do you want this gift of mine? But they said, come on. No, thank you. For Torah, there's no time. Right? Okay, good. Then there's no time for Torah. What did they say? Says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to them and said, do you want the Torah? So Esav said, what's in it? And he said, lo sirtzach, he can't kill. They said, oh, our father, he was a big killer. We can't keep that one. I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to do it. So he went to Yishmael. He said, do you want to keep it? He said, what's in it? He said, different versions, either lo sinach or lo signov. Can't steal or you can't commit adultery. And they said, oh, but our father, he was into both of those things. Can't do it. Went to Moab, etc. And it says what the nation said, and they had that. The kasha that's asked by everyone. I have 9 answers to this question so far. I'm looking for more. I was once told there are 27 answers brought down by different mefarshim in this answer. They have to keep that anyway. They're part of the Sheva Mitzvah's B'nai Noach. You can't kill, you can't commit adultery. That's part of the Sheva Mitzvah's B'nai Noach. That stopped them from keeping the Torah? That's ridiculous. No matter what, they're going to have to keep that. That shouldn't be your reason for not accepting the Torah. It's a great question.
Yeah, but if you can't keep the most basic ones, how are they going to keep the kosher and the other stuff?
Okay, granted, you're right. That's like the concepts, right? They're saying like, well, we can't even do this. For sure we can't. But why would God even say? But forget about that. Why would God even say, don't commit adultery? He knows they have to keep that anyway. Don't tell them that. Tell them you have to keep kosher. Which is, oh, we can't keep that. Well, why tell them about adultery where they have to keep anyway? That concept.
The good parts.
Good. Tell them good parts, right? Why tell them that specifically? Here's the answer. This is the answer. It goes against their basic code. The concept was not that all of you won't be able to live without committing adultery, without murdering. Obviously, how many non-Jews out there commit murder or adultery? Or the second one we don't want to talk about, but you know, stealing is also a little whatever. Let's just go with murder. How many non-Jews are there that murder? Obviously, not so many, right? Percentage-wise, we're talking 0.0. Probably 0.01% of the world.
It's in prison.
Probably not for murder.
Not for murder.
So murder, you'd have to go down. It's obviously rare for a person to commit murder. So what's Josh? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should know that the Torah is given not just to individuals. I know that individually you will be able to keep these Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but this Torah is going to be for the nation. And you can't allow any of you to commit murder. Are you going to be able to do that? To which the nation said, all of us? No. I could do it. He could do it. But that guy can't. There's no way we'll all be able to do it. We have ingrained in our system from Esav to kill. Somebody's going to kill. He asked by Yishmael. He said, no. Individually, we will be able to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But that guy, he'll never be able to do it. He's going to have that problem. Once it became a klal thing, the other nations of the world don't live that way. They consider it, no, the priests will take care of us. The imams will take care of us. The people that are in charge will be the guys who know everything. We'll just follow in their footsteps. We'll do whatever we can. They did have priests, even the Ovdei Avodah Zarah at the time. I'm not saying Christians, I'm saying the concept of paganism. And what it was, is this concept of, they'll be the ones in charge, we just do whatever they tell us to do. Anything they tell us, we'll go along with the flow. The Hamonam goes around, to which they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't keep the Torah, because the Hamonam can't keep this. The multitudes of people won't be able to keep this as a whole. That's the difference. By us, we said immediately, oh, we have to accept the Torah for everyone, and everyone has to keep it. It's not just the guys in charge. Everyone has to do everything they can. We can't do that. We can do that. We will work as a nation. And it's a Mora Shah Kehilat Yaakov. For everyone, even Yaakov, you need to be able to keep that. It's a tremendous thought. Whether or not there's some faults in it, there's some parts of it that have to be tweaked a little bit. Granted, what you're saying, David, it has to be tweaked a little bit. It has to be tweaked. But the concept is amazing. Rav Hirsch has a famous piece regarding the churches of Christians now are always surrounded by cemeteries. While shoals, you should not have a cemetery by a shoal. I know in Europe it was that way because of the whole concept. But it means because the priest's job is for the dead. And for our job is for the live people that are in shul.
One question.
What? Yeah.
If Hashem really went to the leaders, to the priests, don't you think they would have any recorded history of...
That's why I said, first of all, there is one. Rav Pinchas Solberg, the head of NCSY, has a tremendous bit of archaeology. He has 3 books in archaeology that have not been printed yet. He does have one nation that said, God appeared to us and asked us if you want his book of laws. And they said no. that is one place where it does say. I, granted, it's a strange reference, and it seems off year-wise, but it is a place. I forgot. He told me it before. He has some crazy stuff. He has all this stuff. So granted, that's there. But I said to begin with, the whole concept is really, really strange. You'd have to go with the fact that it was probably after the Malachim, the angels that got it, and not the leaders. The leaders, how they said no, it boggles the mind. But if you go with this concept,
that spoke down through Bilam.
It could be, yeah, Bilam is another answer that's brought down. Time even Huggin brings down Bilam. There's the Levium that went out there. There's the Malachim that went to the other Malachim. There's a concept that it was brought out to everybody in a dream, and they all said no in their dream. There's crazy answers.
It's
but
like
I.
A bad sentence, yeah. If God appeared to the whole nation and asked,
yeah, it seems strange. I started off with that. I'm just going with the Medrash to explain the Medrash, but granted, the whole Medrash is a very strange Medrash to understand. We're going to stop. That the summary is the Etzem Yomazeh. How are they going to stop Moshe? We gave three answers. Did they daven in the end, and why not? It seems they didn't. Why didn't they daven? Another time that it says the Etzem is by Avraham, and we explained Avraham with three answers. Our Torah is Morasha or Meorasa. That's the difference. And why Kielas Yaakov? Because our Torah is for the Rabban and not for the Yechidim. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good